Welcome to the Claim Hunters. I am Chris Tidball, an executive claim consultant with Subro IQ, where we routinely find our clients significant amounts of trapped cash. On our show, we will explore the epidemic of trapped cash across not only the insurance industry, but the global business landscape. Our guests bring a unique perspective on challenges faced by businesses that impact their bottom line. We believe that everyone has a great story to tell, and this is the forum to tell it. We hope you enjoy today's episode and stick around to learn more about how you can be a guest in 20 minutes or less. Welcome to Claim Hunters. I am here with Krista Johnson from Gallagher Bassett. Welcome, Krista.
Thank you.
So you were telling me that you're in a pretty cool role in the Gallagher world. What do you do?
Thank you. Yes, I am. So I manage the cyber team.
Okay.
We handle cyber claims for various carriers, MGAs, risk pools. So we are on the ground doing ransomwares, data breaches, business email compromises every day.
Oh my gosh. That's so, you've got to see some crazy stuff.
Oh yeah.
Definitely. I mean, we hear about like, you know, ooh, someone clicked on the link and now our systems are locked down and we can never get in again. I mean, talk to me about that. What is that all about?
Yeah, it's honestly, some of it is crazy, but some of it's all happening a lot and
right.
It's happening often. And so I think ultimately we just kind of end up having to preach a lot of like, make sure you're careful with what you're doing.
Yeah.
Make sure you're not clicking certain things. But yeah, it's very interesting. So we see a lot of ransomware files. We
okay.
see a lot of business email compromises, which is where someone gets into your system, either you clicked a link or an employee has somehow given their credentials and the threat actor gets in.
Right.
My mom loves the phrase threat actors. I have
that
to say.
It is a good phrase though. I mean, that would actually be a great name for a book. What do you think, Josh? Great name for a book? The Threat Actors. Threat Actors. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every once in a while, we get him to chime in.
Love it. But yeah, it's a cool role. I love my team. They
yeah.
are incredible. They work so hard. It's a little bit different than a normal, you know, working in a carrier role. And so they just work so hard. They're so awesome.
Yeah. So how big is your team?
Yeah. So we have four adjusters, about to have five.
Okay.
And we have I would say 9 or 10 different programs that we're working on. So some of the adjusters work on certain programs and the adjusters work on other programs.
Okay. So I've noticed, so in my world, we do a lot of contracts and I've noticed increased language around cyber and also a request for increased coverages. So, and some of the amounts are like, wow, you've got to be kidding. So let's say there's a cyber attack, ransomware. I mean, what does it cost to get something undone and fixed?
That is a great question. So it costs a lot or it costs a little.
Okay.
It really does depend on the issue.
Okay.
So, you know, sometimes we have these business email compromises where you can get a breach counsel in, have forensics come in, and those are the only vendors you need to use.
Right.
You know, it really does depend. I mean, a range. Sometimes it can be anywhere from sub 5,000 to sub 10,000.
Okay.
Some of those. But then you also have huge ransomware claims that I think what's interesting now about ransomware claims is they used to touch certain parts of the policy. You know, we have cyber extortion coverages
okay.
that would sometimes get used up just mm-hmm. on the extortion payment. But now we're seeing ransomwares are touching so many different insuring agreements.
Right.
So they're touching cyber extortion. You're touching business interruption, ultimately.
Okay.
You're touching data recovery. You're touching
yeah.
all of these parts of the policy that they're made for this, right?
Right.
These coverages are there for the insured, and they're made to be used. It's
right.
just you didn't see this however many years ago that these ransomware
oh, yeah.
were so vast.
So I've got cyber extortion, okay? So I've got someone that's taken over my system, and they want $10 million. You would literally pay them $10 million to go. How do you know they're going to free up my system?
Right. That's the question, right? So when you have to determine if you're going to pay, if you're not going to pay, it's dependent on a lot of factors.
Right.
So we preach a lot of making sure you have backups,
okay.
making sure your system's backed up and you can access those backups and those backups are not corrupted.
Right.
So a lot of times a backup is going to be your first line of defense against paying a ransomware threat actor.
Okay.
And so if you have another word my mom loves, cyber hygiene, excellent cyber hygiene, she loves it, then you're going to have a better chance of not having to pay a ransom.
Okay.
Whereas if you are not taking your cyber hygiene seriously, you know, you might end up in a situation where you have to pay the threat actor to decrypt or to decrypt all of your files.
But how do you know they're going to actually do it?
You don't.
Right. And the other thing is, I've always heard if you pay extortion, that just incentivizes them to do it again.
They've said that, but again, it ultimately ends up being a business decision, and sometimes it is the right business decision.
So do you have situations where people pay the ransom, but they're like still out of luck?
I personally have never had that happen,
Okay.
thankfully. And even in those instances, I believe we have so many vendors that are able to assist in getting
Yeah.
it back up and in getting back your data and in getting your data into a place where you can continue working. So
Right.
luckily, that's not something you really have to worry about. Like ultimately, in that instance, you're just trying to do what's best for your
Right.
business.
So if you have, I can understand, like, say, a smaller business, less sophisticated, probably has bad cyber hygiene, and maybe they get taken over. But I hear of like big organizations, hospitals, government agencies. How does that even happen with somebody that should be very, very sophisticated and advanced?
It very much depends. Some of these hospitals, et cetera, they've worked very hard on their systems, and ultimately, the majority of cyber incidents are from human error.
Okay.
So accidentally clicking a link, accidentally approving an MFA request, it's really important to make sure employees are trained and to make sure
Yeah.
that people know what to look for.
So we get, once a month, we'll get one of those exercises from IT. Hey, you've got to go do this like threat assessment or whatever. I think a lot of people just roll their eyes. I mean, hopefully this is eye-opening. Like, there's, we hear about like the phishing and the spear phishing and all the other different terms. So it's real. And I mean, it could impact our company or your company or any company out there. So people need to take it seriously. Do you provide any type of counseling or coaching or, an audit of the systems to just make sure they're where they need to be?
So there are a ton of vendors and now a ton of insurance companies and carriers that are beginning to help with the pre-breach stuff that are
Okay.
offering services.
Yeah.
I would urge a lot of companies' risk managers to look into that,
Yeah,
a
yeah.
lot of people's risk managers to look into vendors that can help them with the pre-breach types of things.
Right. Yeah, because it's, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's a problem that's going to go away. I mean, if anything, it seems like it's gotten worse. And I guess as we build, safeguards against some of the old tactics, we're just coming out with new tactics. So what are like the new things that are popping up?
Yeah, I think I always have to talk about AI in these instances.
Okay.
AI is really changing. I think a lot of people talk about AI so generally, and so we get nervous about, well, AI is doing this and AI is doing that. But AI really is, I was just talking to someone about this, a tool, and
Yeah.
threat actors are using it as a tool. They're becoming more sophisticated by using AI. They're becoming more able to target certain things because of AI. So I think AI, in terms of how it's enhancing threat actor sophistication, is something to really look out for.
Right. So what advice would you give to first to companies? Like that, I guess that would be my first question. I'm a company, I've got an IT department, I've got a system. What should I be doing?
You should have an incident response plan. I think
Okay.
those are one of the most important things that a company can have. So you know who needs to talk to whom when an incident occurs, who's going to call who. Who is going to access who when we don't have access to our emails? How are we going to get the backups back up? Do the backups work? Do we
Right.
have people who know how to get the backups working? Like, have a practice run ultimately of
Right.
your incident response plan. I think that is so important.
Okay. Now, what about individuals?
Yeah, there's a lot of things you can do as an individual. I think managing your passwords properly is huge.
Okay.
So passwords are the lock, right? And
Yeah.
so you need to manage those passwords. There's a lot of password managers out there that you can
Okay.
get. There's a lot of free ones that you can get. Just changing your password is going to end up saving a lot of time and effort.
And it shouldn't be something like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Correct. I was joking earlier in my session, it can't be my name 2025 exclamation point for everything.
Right. Okay. And I think that, I would bet, I don't know for certain, but I would bet that most people have like a base word and then a number, birth year or current year, and then a special symbol, which is probably an exclamation point.
Yes.
So you can guess those passwords pretty easily.
Oh, yeah. And so what they found is better is longer. So the longer you use a password,
Right.
pick a phrase, something like that, it's going to
Yep.
be better. Like I've used phrases talking about my dog, like
Okay.
describing the dog, describing my friends.
Right. Okay. So multi-factor authentication, is that a good thing?
Multi-factor authentication is table stakes at this point.
Okay.
Everyone should have it. You can have it on even personal things at this point. You
Right.
know, I even have it on my Google account now.
Okay.
It's table stakes. It's a must.
Yeah, because I about a year or so ago I had one of my social media accounts was hacked, and I worked with the company and we were able to recover it. Took a while. It took like 3 weeks, 4 weeks. They found it. My profile, I became an Asian lady, very attractive Asian lady, but my whole everything was changed. Like I was like, how did that happen? And we were able to recover it and change everything. And ever since then, multi-factor authentication. So what other advice would you give to people?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of tools that companies can put in place. You know, some of them are pretty technical, and so a lot of your IT department's already doing them, like
Okay.
patching vulnerabilities, having endpoint detection response. Those are, you know,
Okay.
softwares that you can use. But also just thinking a little bit more about your cyber hygiene and what you're
Yeah.
doing. It's a lot of common sense. Like I said,
Okay.
if you have a business email compromise, the first line of defense that they're going to use is changing your password to kick who's ever in your email out.
Right.
So if they're accessing your email, they're in there.
Yeah.
They change the password, they're out.
Okay.
And
Wow.
it's, I mean, you
It's
shut the
over.
door.
Yeah. So, one group that really concerns me are the elderly, and they seem to get preyed upon. And a lot of them are, they're in homes. Some of them are dealing with dementia or other, aging illnesses. What protection is out there for them?
I think again, just password managers. I think as long as they have people who are able to talk to them about, hey, maybe we're going to take a second look at this.
Yep.
I see a lot of internal things like with banks where they say, hey, you need to acknowledge that you're not sending this to an XYZ person.
Right.
I don't know if Facebook's doing anything new, but you know, there's a lot of Facebook Messenger scams right
Oh,
now.
yeah.
So I think there's a lot of little tickers that are like, hey, if you don't know this person, don't respond. I
Right.
think companies are having to take more steps internally to protect their consumers.
Yeah. I mean, some of the emails that I get are unbelievably good. They're phishing. And because I've taken training, you learn to recognize it. And we actually have a thing internally where we report it. And you get a little badge for, or you get dinged if you miss it. But I'm shocked at how good some of them are. I mean, things like, scary stuff like the IRS, which will never email you. They'll mail you a letter, which you don't want to get, but they will still mail the letter. But some of the stuff that comes through on the email, it's just like, wow, this is scary because it looks real. And they do stuff with like even the return email address. It's like IRS.gov, like a little period, just something that throws people off.
I know, yeah. And so it's really important to kind of check with the source, right?
Yeah.
You know, you hear those stories about how someone's daughter called and said they were in trouble.
Yes.
Call your daughter.
Yeah.
Call the bank.
Right.
Call. Check the IRS website. The IRS is pretty, and all of the, you know, agencies are pretty aware of when there's like a scam that's starting up again, and they'll
Yeah.
let you know on their website, like, we will never contact you for your
Right.
information.
Yeah, it's some crazy stuff. I mean, what you guys are doing is great. And I think the more that you can reach out and help people and give advice like this, because this is evolving, and it's evolving fast, and it's scary because I mean, they can take over your life, your identity, your bank accounts, I mean, everything. So thank you so much for joining
Thank
us.
you for having me. This is great.
Absolutely. And if anyone would like to be a guest on Claim Hunters, just go to subroiq.com and hit the podcast button. Thank you for joining the Claim Hunters. We hope you enjoyed our show. If you would like to share your story, head on over to subroiq.com and click the YouTube button.